Best-selling author and American psychologist Mary Pfeiffer said this, "We live in a world filled with language. Language imparts identity, meaning, and perspective to our human community. Writers are either polluters or part of the cleanup team. Just as the language of power and greed has the potential to destroy us, the language of reason and empathy has the power to save us. Writers can inspire a kinder, fairer, more beautiful world, or invite selfishness, stereotyping, and violence. Writers can unite people or divide them." In this Book Show podcast, host, confidence coach, Susan Axelrod asks women authors a simple question. Which kind of writer are you? She invites each guest to step into the confidence zone to proclaim how her book can inspire. If you are seeking inspiration to create your legacy, take out your pen and pad. Your book, My Time, starts now.
Hello, friends. Welcome to this very special episode of the KS Media Group Book Show, Your Book, My Time. This episode is special to me. I've done more than 25 episodes, and I love every person who comes onto my podcast. But today, I have a very special guest. She is a colleague. She is my sometimes client, my sometimes coach, sometimes my mentee, sometimes my mentor, but always my dear friend. Dr. Linda Roselle Shannon is the author of Birthmarks, A Guide to Hemangiomas and Vascular Malformations, as well as numerous resource booklets on these topics, and actually many other works of various kinds of art. I have known Dr. Linda for 25 or more years now, and there is no one I think more qualified to engage in a discussion about destiny, which is the topic that we are discussing today. So I want to say, hi, Linda, good to see you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Linda, my introduction is all true. As you know, you and I entered into some kind of pact decades ago, and we have been on both a life and business journey together over all this time. Sometimes a little up, sometimes a little down in our connection and availability, but certainly in the recent mature decade, as I say, we have been there together with each other, for each other. And it's such a beautiful example for me of my life as a coach and as a human. So I want to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
Today, Linda, we are going to talk about the topic destiny. As we move into the topic for today, I would like to ask you to share who you are and what you do and what you've done.
I love the topic destiny, and it's so appropriate because my destiny came from reading a book by Rick Warren called The Purpose-Driven Life. And in Rick Warren's book, he says two things you are born for: to find God, however you frame God, and to find and fulfill your purpose. And that's how I define destiny. And my destiny was defined in 1994, despite doctors saying I would never get pregnant, I could never have a child, I could never carry a child because I had no estrogen in my body. I fell pregnant with no medical intervention, just a miracle. And when my daughter was born, she was diagnosed shortly after with an infantile hemangioma, which is a benign tumor on her lower lip. And it affected her speech, it affected her eating, and there were no doctors, there was no family support, there was no book for parents, there was no international organization because the internet was still so new and none of this connectivity was happening. A lot of people said to me, oh, you must be mad at God, you wanted a child and then you had one with this. And I said, are you kidding? If he gave her to me, he's gonna bring good out of this. And the beginning, that was the beginning of the journey. And when I found the surgeon to remove Christine, my daughter Christine's hemangioma, I looked at him and I said, you're the one I'm going to write the book with. And he's like, okay. And this is the book. Yeah. So we spent 96 and 97 writing the first book for parents, Birthmarks, A Guide to Hemangiomas and Vascular Malformations. And I wrote this book as a parent who had no knowledge and what I would want to know. So everything in here was very thought processed of what would I want to know and what would I think other parents would want to know. So it explains, it shows lots of pictures. What do these look like? What are they? How do you diagnose them? And what is the proper treatment? Why? Because those were my questions. Mm-hmm. So my questions defined the outline for my book. And it remains today still the only book. It was published in 98, written for parents. And we do have an updated version, which we have to finish with our images and finish getting edited. And that will be out hopefully next year. But there's no regrets. I always say 1994, I had two babies. One was my daughter on February 7th. And then on October 28th, when I filed my DBA for the Vascular Birthmarks Foundation, that was my second baby birth because VBF has become my second child.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Oh, this is all so good because I love listening to that narrative, Linda, because I've been there. We met, what was the year? In
1998.
98. Okay, we met in 1998. What I want to say is what you shared with us right at the outset was something founded in faith. And you said, if God gave me the miracle of this child, then there's obviously a reason for this. And so you are a faith-based human, and you have created an amazing organization that is not a faith-based organization, but you have founded it and created it in faith, your faith in God. How many times, countless times, so many times, even though in the beginning I didn't get it as much and I even challenged, you know, was it really God or was it you? I'm calling this in right at the outset. I know you're laughing your ass off at me in my saying this, and I'm the one bringing it up. I've learned from you. I've watched you. I've grown with you in this. Even as I'm talking, I'm looking away because I'm pulling in the energy of all of this, that really all of this was founded in faith, in your faith. And I'm wondering if you feel like the destiny component like started there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I'm working on another book. I've actually got three other books. My Birthmarks Are Like Flowers book. I have a book ready for publishing on the Holocaust, which, you know, my novella on the Holocaust. I have big interest in the Holocaust and World War II history. But I've also drafted a book called What's Your Birth? As one word, separated, mark. Because I believe every one of us has a moment in our life that is the reason we were born. And at that time, we can choose to follow that destiny or reject it. We don't have to pick up the destiny. Destiny is a choice. It's a choice. And it's presented. And whether it's having a child with a birth defect or loving someone and then they leave this earth and we want to carry on their mantle, or an incident happens that sparks us to join a cause, I believe all of us are born, that we have a birth and that we have a mark in our life. And it can happen anywhere between 0 and 100, that mark appears and you have to make the decision, am I going to go with my destiny? And I truly believe that. So I believe her birth and that hemangioma was that mark. It was that birth mark that defined my destination, her hemangioma. And I believe I was born to do this. I really do.
Well, I want to say probably hundreds of thousands and surely tens of thousands, but I think it's more like hundreds of thousands over these three decades around the world whose lives you've impacted both personally and actual interpersonal engagement, countless hours, countless, countless, way into the night, working with one parent, working with one baby on behalf of one baby, getting those doctors to say yes, you know, making it happen. All these people would agree that this was your destiny, that you said yes. I call it the destiny charge. Show up, step in, take action. And that really is what you did. You said, what is your birthmark? And that brings up the word demarcation for me. This is a word that's been showing itself to me quite a bit lately. And it surely was a demarcation of sorts from the person you were, who might have been willing to accept the word of medical doctors versus the destiny of saying, I don't accept this, I'm researching more, right?
Exactly. I mean, even when they said, you'll never have a child, I rejected it. I mean, I know that's crazy, and some may think I was crazy, but I found a scripture that said, rejoice, barren woman, many are the children of the desolate. And I said, bring them on, God, I'll take them all. Well, now I have 40,000 new babies a year that, you know, need our expertise and our advice and referral. We know we've referred 150,000 in the last 28 years, but that exponential where they come to our website and they just find the doctor on their own, or come to a meeting and they find it, it's probably double that amount exponentially. And not just the families. We train and educate physicians from around the world.
There are viewers and listeners who will not be, I just want to spend a few minutes, because of course I've had a lifetime with you, adult education in this, but can you take a minute to explain what the vascular birthmark is and what a hemangioma is, which I had to ask you the first time we met?
Right. No, thank you. Thank you. So this behind me is the display board for the Vascular Birthmarks Foundation. And 1 in 10 babies are born with a vascular birthmark. There's 4 million approximately live births in our country every year. So of those 1 in 10, about 400,000 are born with a birthmark, but then only 10%, but that's still 40,000, which is a large number, have a vascular birthmark that needs to seek the opinion of an expert. So these are the flat red port wine stain that everybody's aware of. Someone 85% around the face, maybe you went to school with or knew someone with the flat red one. For decades, there was no treatment. Now there's laser treatment. And the second most common is the infantile hemangioma. Many know it by the name strawberry birthmark. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, it's a very familial disease because my twin had one, my niece had one, my cousin had one, and my daughter had one. So they tend to run in families. And then there's lesser known ones, the lymphatic malformation, the venous, the arterial, Sturge-Weber, Klippel-Trenaunay, all these syndromes. And as I said, when I wrote an article for the American Academy of Pediatrics, I said, we don't forget the 10%. The 10% are our population. And in medicine, medicine is driven by the majority. So if 90% of these go away, and you know about this battle that I fought for 28 years, that 10% are constantly rejected to have treatment covered by insurance. Mm-hmm. So we are the battle cry for the 10% that need an accurate diagnosis, appropriate treatment, and for insurance to cover it. And that's why I've got a federal bill out there right now mandating insurance companies cover the treatment of these, because it's been a never-ending battle. And the more insurance denies, the fewer doctors will stay in network because they won't be reimbursed. So it's a catch-22. Mm-hmm. But it continues my purpose and mission and destiny, because it's not done. You know, people say, oh, well, you should retire, or you know, is your work done? No, my work's not done until every child born with a vascular birthmark receives an accurate diagnosis and appropriate treatment, and it's covered by insurance. That's it. That's when I'll rest.
Oh God, there's so much. Okay, so first of all, I wanna say how much I've learned over these decades with you about calling out what is. You know, when you see someone with a vascular birthmark, you can let them know about the Vascular Birthmarks Foundation. Sorry, Linda, is that right? The Vascular Birthmark Foundation. There's a couple of organizations that have similar names. So I wanted to make sure I could ask our friend Scott, who's watching, to type in the website. And as opposed to like looking away, there's a whole ancillary, or I shouldn't say ancillary, but more corollary thing that you've done with bullying because of, you know, what happens with children and adults with these vascular birthmarks. So I want to really like encourage anybody listening to this podcast or watching this video to go and learn more about these vascular birthmarks. Linda is the expert in the world. The website, which we will post, is the place with the information, the resources, the network that you need if you are in this world. So that's clear. That's our call to action right in the middle of the podcast. I'm not waiting to the end because I've learned how important it is for to speak out, to advocate, and to be clear. So how did I do with that, Linda?
That's wonderful, Susan. And birthmark.org. birthmark.org is our website. And you know, it's incredible the amount of work that has to be done, but it's also incredible about the work that has been done. And I am the leading expert, but I'm the lay expert in the world, meaning the non-MD. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are like, oh, you got your PhD. I actually went back to school, got my PhD to be able to establish a criteria for families to be able to get insurance to cover treatment. And that was when I did my study on PTSD of mothers of children with facial birthmarks. To establish PTSD meant you could establish a criteria for insurance to cover treatment. And, you know, a lot of people are like, wow, you're going back to school to get your PhD. Yeah, for many reasons. One is I'm dealing with physicians every day. And you have to bring yourself to a level with them where you can communicate with them. And the second thing is, it was important for me that VBF have a leader that was credentialed.
Right.
And then the third part was I wanted to make a difference with my dissertation. I didn't want to just do one, but I wanted one that could be used as a source for families who were denied treatment. And you mentioned the bullying. We have the VBF Anti-Bullying Pledge,
right,
which thousands of people around the world have signed the petition. Again, you know, VBF does a lot of patient-centered research. We are constantly doing surveys, assessing the psychosocial needs, the medical needs, and the financial needs of our families, so that we know that we're on the forefront of addressing whatever gaps are out there where they're not getting the help that they need. And I mean, just before I got on with you, I had a mom who had her venous malformation from her lip removed, and it was a big tumor, and insurance is denying it. They're saying it was cosmetic to remove a tumor from a woman. And, you know, I always laugh because if your eyelids are so baggy as you get older that they obstruct your vision, you get a blepharoplasty for free. Mm-hmm. Or if your breasts are so heavy that they give you a backache, you get a breast reduction for free. Mm-hmm. But a tumor on a baby or an adult the size of a cherry tomato or an orange, they call it cosmetic. And it just is, it makes me crazy. So the work is still there.
The work is still there. So a few things. First, I want to say that Gina is with us, and Gina's comment said, I've been misdiagnosed all my life until finding Dr. Linda and the Vascular Birthmarks Foundation. So, and then there's this, Gina says, this is like, speaks to my heart. Thank goodness I can meet this part of myself and begin to understand. Are you kidding? I have chills on that comment. Thank you, Gina, because that's destiny, Linda. That's real destiny that you're in when someone, you know, who has been served by your work, you're not alone. You didn't do this all alone. Over decades, you've amassed a vast network of parents, families, physicians, other related professionals, et cetera, donors, of course, who have supported you. But these things need a leader. And as a result, someone named Gina gets to say, thank goodness I can meet this part of myself and begin to understand. And also, we have the URL directly to the anti-bullying campaign in the comments.
I just like to make a comment because our new COO, Scott Couples, I saw a picture of him on the internet in his amazing military uniform with all his ribbons. And he just personified confidence to me. And he portrayed his birthmark beautifully. And there was no, it just had this strength. And I reached out to him and I said, you would be an amazing advocate for parents wanting to know their children will be okay, because he's like one of the youngest E8s in the country. He's doing his doctoral degree. He's a single dad. I mean, he's amazing. And until he met me, you know, in 2016, he didn't even ever have a treatment, was never brought for treatment. And now Dr. Geronimus, who treats Scott, Scott is like one of his favorite patients. And everybody's excited now that, you know, from meeting Scott in 2016 at our conference to get a treatment. He was reluctant. He had not been around all these people with birthmarks. And now 6 years later, he's our COO. And that's destiny.
That's destiny, baby. Destiny. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I love this part of where destiny meets activation. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Destiny offers the opportunity for activation, and destiny takes activation. And that's really where you're the linchpin in all of this. How many times, again, we're such close personal friends, have you told me, oh, I was up till 3 a.m. answering emails because I have to do this. You know, I have to do this. And so that's really, you know, we're in a space, you know, what was it called? The Purpose-Driven Life. Yeah, that the very famous book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Where you sort of move through purpose, like on a raft, R-A-F-T, you know, like you move mm-hmm. through purpose, flowing on a raft where the water sometimes comes up over it, sometimes not, or sometimes the water is very, very choppy. Some very rarely is it smooth sailing when you're on a raft on a sea. But I do want to ask you to share, how is it when there might have been one or two very significant struggles for you as the leader, Linda, that where I probably many times said to you, get out of this, stop this, you don't deserve this, et cetera. But yet, you know, you're on the raft and you keep going. That's destiny.
I was just thinking of a thought and you segued me right to it. Which is, and a lot of people won't make this statement, but I'm going to make it. Destiny is not without major sacrifice. Destiny is not without major sacrifice. And you can look at anybody throughout history who has really made a difference. And all we see is what they've accomplished, but we don't know what they have given up. And I've given up a lot in 28 years. I'm not going to make the list because I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm not looking for it. I feel that when I die, I have fulfilled my purpose, or as Maslow says, I've reached my hierarchy of needs. I've gotten to that top. And right now, I just am going and going as long as God allows me to live, and as long as God allows me to help one person, I will do it. But it is not without major sacrifices in my life. And you have to embrace that. And you have to make a choice. And I did. Because you can be on the destiny bus and get off at a number of stops.
Yeah. And as I just indicated, I begged you. I'm like on the outside. Get off, get off, get off. Come over here with me. It's nicer over here. Get off the bus, you know, get off the raft, swim to the edge. But again, this is a bit where your faith comes in, that when you are in faith, when you are of faith, when you have the ultimate trust and belief, then when those sacrifices are asked of you, when you compromise perhaps even some of your own values to the extent that you're willing, that you're really, you've really showed up. You've really stepped in and said yes.
Well, and another thing is that I really want to make this known is, it's not just you, but there have been bumps, major bumps, where people have said, you know, you get off the bus, go work here, go work there, you'll make triple the money, you'll have all this prestige. And I have the same answer for 28 years. You don't leave your baby. I would have abandoned my daughter, and I would never abandon VBF. And I tell my daughter, oh, yeah, I did my will. I have my two kids in there. And she's like, Mom, you only have me. I go, you and VBF, you're both in my will because you're both my kids.
Right, right, exactly.
So mama, we don't abandon our babies.
Right.
We can go through hell, and boy, have we.
Yeah.
But we don't leave. We don't leave.
Yeah. And that really does kind of speak to saying yes to destiny. You know, and this conversation is so amazing because I've been in some fashion, you know, like watching you alongside, you know, watching you, all of these things that we said. And when I said before that there are likely hundreds of thousands of people around the world who would wish that they were here to say thank you for leading, I didn't say, you know, you did everything yourself. I know you had a wonderful, amazing mentor who recently passed away, sadly, Dr. Martin Mim. Was, again, talk about someone standing by your side from the very beginning. But all of these people, if I could give them the opportunity, would wish that they could line the road that your bus is driving on to say thank you for saying yes, thank you for having faith, thank you for being in trust, thank you for not abandoning things, and that's true purpose, that's destiny, Linda.
Yeah, and I just want to add one quick thing, Susan. I just want everyone to imagine I was this crazy mother in 1994, 95, just trying to get answers because I couldn't fathom that they could take the heart out of one person and put it in another, but they couldn't remove a tumor from a baby's lip. It just blew my mind. And I remember going over to Albany Med and saying, I'm not, if you don't let me speak to somebody, I'm going to go on TV and say you won't help children with a birth defect. And the communications guy was like, oh, go talk to Dr. Martin Mim. And I go in and I got my baby with me. And I tell him, I want to start a foundation. I want you to be my medical director, and I want you to be the leading pathologist for vascular anomalies. He goes, okay, I had a hemangioma when I was a baby, and my nephew has a venous malformation. Let's do it. And what I didn't realize was he had never looked at a vascular lesion until he met me, and he would go on to discover with Dr. North the GLUT1 marker, which is definitive in the world today for determining an infantile hemangioma. And I say, from me, what he called the desperate mother when he wrote about me, he's like the desperate mother who came to see me. I love that. I was that desperate mother, you know? Yeah. And I take that title proudly, because I don't know if I have that level of energy that I had 28 years ago, but I'm so happy that God made me to be so bold to storm into the hospital and meet this giant. You know, Dr. Min was just a giant, and he was my mentor, my hero, my inspiration. He taught me everything I knew. He encouraged me through my PhD. He lived 88 long years. We were doing his biography 2 days before he passed. And what I do now, I do to honor not just what I've brought, but I want to honor him and what he brought to my life by continuing my mission, vision, and destiny to honor him and all the others. Mm.
And oh my gosh, there's so much more to say about that. Talk about the fact that a random doctor at the Albany Medical Center in Albany, New York, a random doctor, the communications guy was like, go talk to him. He was a random doctor. And you go in there as the desperate mother he, you know, wrote about, and he himself had an hemangioma, I think you said.
Yes.
I mean, that's really destiny in the making. Linda, our time is up. This is so much not fair. I think that we're going to, have another part two of this conversation. The new edition of your book is going to be coming out. You're going to have other books coming out. I want to have you come back on this podcast, this book show podcast, so we can talk about whatever you want. I just want to ask, where can people find you? What if somebody out there says, oh my gosh, this is my baby. I never heard of this. I never knew about this.
Again, birthmark.org is our website, and there's a button right on there, ask an expert. And we have doctors from all over the world, and you can see me, Dr. Linda, and also my email is VBF President for Vascular Birthmark Foundation, VBF President, all one word, @gmail.com. And thank you so much, Susan, my friend, my coach, my mentor, my inspiration. VBF isn't just mine. You helped me build it. And, you know, shout out to you, because you've been mentoring me all the way through as someone who never did anything not for profit. I signed up for your class in 98, and we've never parted. And I want to thank you for that, because you're a part of my destiny.
Hmm. Yeah, we could go on about that. Maybe we'll talk about that next time, too. Thank you, Linda. I love you. We're going to do this again sometime soon, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay. Take good care. Bye-bye.